When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ramble.
My name is Regina Jones.
Oh, God.
And I am a Maxim Deal.
You can sit with us. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures today. Funny. We're talking about Mean Girls, the musical. Actually, it's just called Mean Girls.
What the fuck was
Something
that?
Something fell outside, and I don't know if the mics picked it up. You okay out there?
Are you supposed to talk like you have a mouthful of marbles? Is that
hot.
What that was?
It's fucking sexy. Don't you think it's hot when you talk like that?
No, it's not. No, please stop.
Are you sure?
Please stop.
I think it's also like when it comes from the bottom lip, because it's the same thing with Izzy Phillips. It's like they talk from their bottom teeth.
They shouldn't.
Okay.
Cool.
Before we get into Mean Girls, I finally have your holiday presents, which year late.
Let's go.
First, let's start with Maggie's. These are funky patches. Me and her love pimple patches, but these are in me and her's aesthetic.
These are all the rage right now.
Which is smiley face, hearts, cherries, flowers, and most importantly, checkered pattern.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
thanks.
Is it because they look like the Olivia Rodrigo cover?
Exactly.
Sick.
And then here's y'all's present. Can you see what that says?
It says A24 on it.
Did
you buy us A24?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
What is this?
This is for Zach.
Is that Beau is Afraid? No, it's
is that a Nicolas Cage sleep mask?
Dream yes. Scenario.
Is that?
Oh no!
Is that a sleep mask that's just Nick Cage's eyes?
And these are for Garrick.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
These are Nick Cage pin and Michelle Yeoh from Everything Everywhere All at Once with a third eyeball pin.
Love it.
Because you wear more Jackies than him with
them. I do. I wear a lot of sweaties.
Oh, wow. You got your glasses on and his glasses are on. Oh, that's terrifying.
Put them over. Please put them over your eyes. Put them over your eyes.
Oh, God. I'm going to hate this. No! Ah! I hate it.
Fuck. I'm Nick Cage.
It's gross.
I'm Nick Cage.
No.
You're insane.
You're a fucking demon.
Oh, my
is what
God.
You are.
The more it gets kind of normal.
Shit. Wait, pull it down just a little bit.
Oh, God.
Like, cover your nose a little bit more.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Oh,
now it's,
that is weirdly normal now.
Yeah, now it's normal.
Now he looks like Sid from Ice Age.
Yeah.
I've been told that before, and it's not a compliment.
Without wearing the mask, I've been told that before, and it's hurtful.
Oh, sorry.
The year is 2024. We have a new Mean Girls movie.
Yeah, we do.
This one is a musical based on the Mean Girls musical from Broadway, based on Mean Girls the movie.
Yeah.
Based on
a book. That I forget the name of.
Queen Bees and Wannabes.
And you said it was a write in it journal type thing, right?
I think so.
Okay. It was like a self-help book or some shit like that.
I believe so.
All right.
I don't know if I said that, but I think you're right.
Yeah. I believe you did in our last podcast.
Okay. This is not your mommy's Mean Girls.
No, it's not.
This
Mean Girls got titties in them. I'm sorry.
This Mean Girls is nice.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, this Mean Girls is singing.
You've got the one and only Renee Rapp. We'll be talking a lot about her. You've got Anjuri Rice. I think that's how you say her name. I like her. She's cool.
She's Australian.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's from fucking...
Oh.
Before I even fuck this up, please continue.
There's so much to talk about. This movie's making lots of money.
Good.
And it's getting well received.
Yeah, people are liking it.
Yeah.
We've got thoughts. I don't know why I forget how to do this podcast.
Well, it's been like months, it feels like.
Yeah, it's been
5 months.
1 week. I love it.
Before we get into it, if you have not seen it, let me hit you with a quick synopsis. It's Mean Girls.
With singing.
With song.
My name is Nice.
Very nice.
I'm sad Busy Phillips didn't sing. I would have liked to hear
I would have liked to see that.
Let's sing.
Well, should we just dive right in?
Let's do it.
Should we do the dang thing?
Let's do the
I think we all love Mean Girls the original.
Yeah, we do.
We've talked about it.
We've talked about it.
On this very show.
Yeah,
has anyone seen the Broadway?
I have.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I regrettably am ashamed to admit I have not seen
it. It sucks. The whole time I was watching this film about the musical, I was upset that I did not get to see Renee Rapp on Broadway.
Okay, I need to tell you guys a story about Renee Rapp.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because I am. Don't laugh at me, Rainey.
No, I'm excited.
I think I've told this story before.
Renee Rapp.
But I'm enraptured. I'm on the rap train.
I'm on the rap train.
I love Renee Rapp.
I have never been more excited for the blossoming of someone else's career.
Aww.
If I'm being honest, like truly, she's like.
She's cool.
She's cool. I want to see her in a lot more things and like just be a villain.
Months ago, I came across Renee Rapp's album, Snow Angel.
Yeah.
I fell in love.
Yeah.
And right. I thought that this was my new little indie discovery.
That's hilarious. That's fucking
Broadway
fun. You
royalty.
Said months ago?
Months ago.
I knew that she was in the Mean Girls musical without even having seen the Mean Girls musical because I saw her in Sex Life of College Girls. Yeah. And I was like, where did this girl come from? She's great.
So let me tell you this. I'm listening to the album. Mm-hmm. I'm falling in love. I'm like, guys, I found. She's like, Olivia Rodrigo, but like indie and like cool. And I came to the office and I recommended her to my staff who looked at me like I was the biggest idiot. And as I said the words Renee Rapp out loud, I was like, oh, I know that name.
Yeah.
Why do I know? And then I realized I saw her on Broadway years ago. This is not some new person.
That's hilarious.
But I mean, like, if Spotify had your most listened from, you know, October to January, she'd be my number one.
That's so funny.
And she's also been, like you mentioned, from Sex Life of College Girls. She kind of got a cult following from that, too, being, like, the lead queer character.
Yeah.
But she has been Broadway royalty from when she was in high school. She went to, like, a fancy musical theater, like, New York City.
She went to a fame school.
Fame school, not Broadway. But you know who convinced her to be on Broadway?
Who?
Lorne Michaels.
No, what?
And Tina
How'd that
Fey.
Happen?
So they were casting for Mean Girls, and she had been doing theater and like musicals in high school, and she won. And the name is blanking me. It's like the Tonys for high school musical singers.
Oh, whoa!
And she won that, and then she was just gonna go straight into a music career. She just wanted to be a singer. Mm. And they were casting for Mean Girls the musical, and they saw her tape, and they were like, they brought her in, and she was like, I actually don't think I want to go into Broadway. I think I just want to start my music career. And they like brought her in, sat her down, and were like, yeah, you have to take this role because you can be a singer. Like, you can be a singer. That's great. But, like, if you don't do Broadway, you would be wasting your talents.
Wow.
And convince her to play Regina George.
Damn.
Her breath control and
is
her
insane.
Vocal power is nuts. Did you see her performance on SNL this past weekend?
No, she was on SNL this
she
weekend
was,
with
she was
Lordy?
A musical guest. Yeah. And she sings Snow Angel, which is my favorite type of song, which is slow build into rock and roll fucking waterfall.
Yeah.
Like it just explodes out.
Yeah.
And she begins the song laying on the ground. And she does the whole like first minute and a half. Like she's sick, but like that is not. I want you right home, if you're at home right now, lay on your fucking back.
Yeah.
Try singing. It is weird and God damn it.
Yeah. God damn.
If you had any cornflour
came
out.
He said,
if you're listening
lay
at home.
On your fucking back.
If you're listening at home.
Oh, wow.
Talking to me like that?
If you're listening at home, I want you to lay on your back.
And I'm good. You know I'm good.
Get on the floor. It's hard. Really, really fucking hard.
Yeah.
It is like that is an athletic feat.
She got lungs and she got a big ass mouth.
Got pipes.
She got a mouth on her.
I mean, so my review of the Mean Girls movie honestly begins and ends with Renee Rapp. I think it is Renee Rapp's world. I think it is really, really hard to enter IP as iconic as this, to step into any of these roles, let alone Regina George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rachel motherfucking McAdams.
Rachel McAdams.
We got that mania. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
We got that mania.
Yeah. I loved the I love the interview that she did with, I think it was like Colbert, and he was like, do you have anything that you would want to say to like Rachel McAdams or any notes? And she's like, date me? She's a very funny person.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I am, for hearing that Lorne Michaels and Tina Fey approached her makes absolute sense. Because yeah. I was like, yo, if you wanted to do comedy, you definitely could.
It comes really effortlessly.
Yeah, effortlessly funny. And it is something that you shouldn't like really shy away from or think that is like just like a, oh, this is just like a little personality quirk. No, that's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. I believed her. Yeah. I believed her in this role.
Yeah.
And it's very different. Like, that's what got with me with pretty much the whole movie is how different the characters were from the original iconic, because you can't help but compare, even though you have to remember that it is a musical.
Yeah.
And this was like what I was breaking down the psychology of like why I felt so, I still haven't decided if I loved it or felt like very lukewarm about it, was because we are obsessed with the movie. We can quote it forward, backward. Yep.
And I'm obsessed, not even by choice. It just is so,
it just is, it's so prevalent in the color of this fucking chair, like this pillow reminds you of the movie.
And so what I think is wrong is that it stuck so closely to the movie, right? And when you're watching that in musical form, that's funny because you're like, oh my God, that's that line from my favorite movie. And I'm seeing it on stage in this big theater in Broadway. And it's like just for us. And I just heard it. But when you see it on film, you've already seen it on film. You're seeing it in the same medium that you know it as already.
Yeah.
And you're going, that's not how it's said. When you see it in a musical, you're like, oh my God, this is the stage version. But as the movie version, you're like, you can't help but compare. And I think that was why I couldn't help but compare so many things to the original.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have an original thought ever. I literally wrote down, it feels like the self-reference is cool in a stage play because you're like, these live people are saying it. That's crazy. Look at the live people saying the words that I know. But when you do it on camera, the comparison is more direct and you can judge it even harder than you already have.
I thought I just came up with that.
Copy paste. So fucking crazy.
Did you just lean over and read his notes?
Read his notes.
Yeah.
I wrote, it's the spirit Halloween effect. I know.
Dog, stop. That's me.
it's tough, and it's this is such a lose-lose.
Mm.
I know a lot of young people like really are fucking hard with this movie, and I think from our perspective,
'cause we're old,
this is a lose-lose scenario. Because either you change the movie that we fucking love and we go, where's my iconic line? On Wednesdays we wear pink. You can't sit with us. All of this shit that we know. Or you do it, and our brains go, that's wrong.
It. That's not it. That's not how you do it.
You're doing a line reading. Why am I watching like a school play version of this thing that I know?
Yeah.
So to me, it's almost like the uncanny valley curve.
It was uncanny valley.
It gets too close, but is not it.
Mm-hmm.
So my brain rejects it.
Yeah.
And so there are lines in this movie where everyone in this movie is talented as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Everything in this, it looks great. We're going to talk more about stuff that we love. And it is funny, but it's not. Because it's the jokes that I know and they're wrong.
Yeah, my whole thing is that it literally started off in a really fun way. And it made me, and I've never said this before.
Yeah, this is big. This is big.
It made me want to see the musical.
made me
want more musical.
Holy
because
shit.
There is a camp effect and a hokiness to musicals, and it's all, and I figured it out, it's all in the transition of the backdrops and the editing. And so when you edit something like super quick, like the beginning, the first 5 minutes of this movie, when you're like, all right, let's have somebody talk to camera because we're not doing a movie, we're doing a musical.
That
you know,
was cool.
There are so many points in the movie where you're just like, it doesn't matter. We're doing a musical. This is a stage play. You need to understand that this is a stage play. This is a production. This is theatrics. And it's not like us being kind of dramatic. And so all of those situations and transitions, and I think that the Matilda musical did this very, very well. And all of the jumps to like set pieces and backdrops moving and like, you know, practical effects, the songs coming in and out, all of those transitions when they were like, for lack of a better word, kind of corny. Fantastic.
Work.
They were so funny. They were so great and they worked so fucking well. Like the transition from the garage to the Sahara Desert to the school, you're like, fuck yes, let's go. If
this
everything is
like a musical,
this feels like a musical.
I'm changing sets before my eyes.
Yeah,
in a
I
fun
almost,
way.
I wanted some like damn near like paper mache dolphins to like jump over and all of that shit. And I was like, yo, just lean into it.
Give
and
me
then,
the artifice of a musical and translate it to the screen.
To the screen.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Great.
I think this
and
is
I
a great place to
fine with that.
This is a great place to compliment what is, I think, the triumph of the movie.
Is the
Mr. Kyle motherfucking Hanagami.
Yeah.
Crushed
good friend of the show. He choreographed. He was the second unit director. He absolutely knocked that shit out.
It was
the park.
Every time somebody started dancing behind a musical number, I was like, fuck yes. All right. But also, the goddamn pinnacle of the fucking movie is that flirt song. I don't know what it's called, but the Renee singing that at the Halloween party.
Uh-huh. Oh, when it goes like all slow motion.
When it goes dark.
They're popping,
I was like, what, bitch, get that fucking shit, dog.
I was waiting for them to start like fucking crumping. I was like,
it was so
good. Okay, listen to this. So we're at a Halloween party.
Yeah.
The
Halloween party.
Lights go out.
Yeah.
Whooshing, like a cool blue light.
Yeah.
Fucking silhouetting everybody. Everyone freezes. And Renee Rapp moves through and is moving people in slow motion. Looks like all of a sudden you're in an Usher video.
She's dressed in the fucking
angel
outfit.
Like Victoria's
but
Secret.
She's dressed in like a Greco-Roman stone type angel. Like a biblically accurate version of
it.
It was dope. Yeah. It was fucking dope.
Yeah.
Anyway, please continue. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say it looked like an Usher video.
It looked like an Usher video. It did look like an Usher video.
It stopped at time and it was one that this was when I was like, I want to see this on Broadway so
Yeah, I
want to
see it
bad.
On Broadway so goddamn bad.
Seeing it large scale, what I did think that the music video parts did really well was they used the fuck out of the camera, which I thought my highlight was really the cinematography.
Yeah.
Like there were parts that stood out so immaculately to me. Like for some reason, the shot of
this
her on when she's looking in Regina George is looking in the mirror at herself and the whole room is red before the spring fling.
Yeah.
Or before she breaks her neck, I think. And
it is.
That shot when she's on the treadmill, the confetti dance, like there were these moments that I'm still thinking of where I was like, they did not need to go that nasty
and they did.
The cinematography
and
the color.
I'm giving Kyle all the credit.
Yeah.
I really like, I was so enamored by his work. I'm thinking about Revenge Party, which is the midpoint, the first act climax. It is so colorful and fun and campy and garish. The choreography, I mean, Kyle, if you guys don't know, like he choreographed for Blackpink and huge acts. And watching him getting to like to flex his stuff, to go from understanding the language of how humans move their body to then fully getting to own the camera and the set design and what we're looking at I'm so proud of him.
He
killed it.
The Revenge Party, that whole like sequence is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Where I'm just like, yo,
make
that the whole thing. Make the the whole set piece of her imagination of what things are going to be like now that she's doing this thing or now that she's like doing the actual Revenge Party, where it's just like colorful lockers and everybody's dancing in the background and you're just like, oh, this is fucking crazy. Even going back to the cinematography of it, that one scene where she's about to like order a candy cane, and it's just like her holding the camera and doing like,
oh my god,
I was like, fuck yes.
They do almost like a Snorri cam, if you know, like it's an effect that Darren Aronofsky used. But they have this super wide angle lens mounted to the front of her as she runs down the hallway.
It's the old horror, like reality TV show effect, where it's like where the person running. Stays still, but everything else feels drunk,
right? And it just. Because also in the Mean Girls original movie, Katie does do like VO and not like to camera stuff, but like more VO stuff.
Yeah, it's just proper narration.
And I know any proper narration, right? And like I feel like there is narration in the movie, but it's just like more bookended and it could have been narrated. Wow. It could have been throughout. And
well,
that's
they sing their feelings. Like you never have to wonder. Yeah. They never have to act it.
Which is fair.
Great for a musical.
Of course. Fantastic for a musical. And it's super fun that you can sing stuff, but like the my biggest gripe is the actual movie parts. Is the parts where like in between you're like, all right, this is fine, but all of these things were earned from the previous movie, and you fucking know that.
So here's my grand theory about this.
Yeah.
Wow, he really took a beat.
No, I'm trying to
put it together.
Let him cook.
Okay, sorry.
Remakes, adaptations, movie musicals need to be based on shitty movies.
That's fair.
You can't take a great movie.
That's real.
And make it into a musical and then make it into a movie again because we're all remembering that great movie.
Yeah.
Look at Hairspray, which I know some people are going to be upset when I say the original was a shitty movie, but it's like a campy movie that no one really cared about. They took this old IP, turned it into a musical, fucking ripped.
Yeah.
Because you did not need to be reverent to the original. Then you turn that into a movie and no one's going, oh, I missed the line from the original whatchamacallit movie. Like, you need to take things that are fertile ground for us to expand and play on.
Yeah.
Mean Girls is just, in my opinion, too iconic to play in that playground because you're afraid to break it.
And that's like, because this is of no fault to anybody in the film or like involved in it or anything like that. Like, it literally is just too big. It's unfortunate, but that's also like the best problem to have.
It's a great problem to have.
It's a first world problem where it's just like, God damn, I kind of knocked this shit out the fucking park the first time.
And I kept thinking about like, when would I have loved this? When would I have fucking loved this? And it's if I had never seen the original. It's if this was my first look into it. I'm a kid. I'm going with my mom, who for some reason is fucking obsessed with this movie. I guess I'll go see it with her. Like that, I'm seeing it for the first time. The jokes are working. The mixed media is something I'm used to.
Right.
The references are up to date. But I think what we're talking about too, that the original had, that this didn't do, I don't think very well, was it wasn't fucking mean.
Yes.
They updated how are they going to get around this stereotype? How are they going to get around this fucking thing?
I thought, fucking do it, dog.
Do it.
Be fucking mean. Be mean. And I feel like this is like a not a rebuttal, but like a pulling back or like a shock of people going at Mean Girls.
Let's talk about some of the supporting cast. I want to tell you guys, and I'm curious. You have Christopher Briney playing the new Aaron Samuels.
He could have not been in the movie.
So, all right. Okay. Can I?
All right. Fuck you. Fuck off. I liked him. He was great.
I couldn't tell you a single iconic thing.
No,
he did.
I thought it was dope. I thought that if you are going to have a adorable person, in AP Calc, this is exactly who you would get to play.
Yeah, he wasn't original Aaron Samuels.
So I've heard very different reactions because Desiree's screening was the opposite of mine. Her screening apparently had a bunch of fangirls from The Summer I Turned Pretty.
I love that.
And they all screamed when they saw him. My audience gasped and started laughing.
That's so funny.
They were like, this motherfucker is the love interest?
That's funny.
And I'm looking at, look, this is a real man. He looks like Pennywise. I'm sorry? He looks like fucking Pennywise. I don't know how you have this serial killer looking motherfucker.
You're calling him a Skarsgård?
As the love interest.
You're calling him a Skarsgård?
You're a big head.
Skarsgårds are good looking.
Skarsgårds are good looking. He looks like Pennywise.
That's funny.
He does, and I believed him in The Summer I Turned Pretty, which I fucking love that series, by the way. Shout out Amazon Prime.
Hilarious.
But I did not believe him as Aaron Samuels. But here's the thing. I think they did that on purpose. And here's my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Tina Fey was like, if I could redo Mean Girls, what would I have changed? I would change that the girls weren't, it wasn't so much about the guy.
I'll make them lust over an ugly guy.
Make them lust less over a guy.
That's
make
so
it more
up.
About the girls. And so I think they picked a very mid man
he
to
is
play.
So hot. I don't, I'm, I haven't
no,
seen
No, he's
the movie
hot.
Yet.
Not
okay,
as Aaron
okay.
Samuels.
Tell me, Rainey. Okay. Tell me.
Not as Aaron Samuels.
I think he's one of the hottest people in our generation. He has a girlfriend and that like hurts me. And I think
oh,
I want him to be happy, but he's so pretty. Desiree wanted Jacob Elordi, but I think Jacob Elordi is too scary.
No, see, I think he would have been so fucking
okay,
perfect
but
as Aaron Samuels.
Look at this photo and tell me that you think he's hot in Mean Girls. I, you know,
that's
I just
so he put up a picture of Pennywise. Audio listeners,
when he turned around, I'm like, I'm sorry, is he gonna give her a pencil or is he gonna kidnap her and keep her in his basement?
That's so
he was a sweet little boy.
Yeah,
in
he's
this.
A sweet little
and
kid.
You needed a fucking yeah. man that teenage girls want to
no,
fuck.
No, no,
you needed Jacob Elordi.
No, you need fucking somebody to look like a high schooler.
Not when you have Renee Rapp wearing leather and fucking swishy pants with her fucking chesticles all out. Absolutely not. She would have suffocated. Chris Briney with her titties.
That sounds cool. I did think he was a good actor. I liked him. Yeah, he was very
great.
Sweet.
He was very sweet.
He's a good actor.
He
I
was
just
very
don't
sweet.
Think he was an entertainer.
I mean, he has incredible range, you know? Like, yeah. He's in this. He's a killer clown that's, like, amazing.
I hate this. I hate this so
okay,
much.
Okay, can we talk about another supporting?
Okay, so you've got our narrators, the best friends.
Moana.
It's fucking Moana.
It's fucking Moana.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until the
She's
credits.
She's the best singer of
fucking
all
Moana.
Time.
It's fucking Moana is yeah. in this movie, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could be the best
okay.
daughter
and then, like,
standing.
You figure it out when she starts singing.
Yes.
It's like, who the fuck? I know this. I know this voice. I know this voice. Moana.
Okay. Guilt, the fashion did not hit for me.
It pissed me off.
Pro. Moana's makeup can fuck.
Thanks.
This makeup was telling Euphoria to go fuck itself.
That's funny.
The makeup was... That's when I was like, we finally did it. We upgraded Mean Girls. We got the makeup right. Outfits? Not so much as flying. Wardrobe? Not so much as
flying. I think that's like the tough part with... I mean, just this this movie in the first place is that... They were like, okay, we need to make this for a younger audience. And they're like, cool. Well, what do the younger audiences like? They like glitter on their eyelids. They like TikTok. They like filming themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the younger audience is like, we've seen the original.
Yeah.
We're going to judge it based off of the original.
Yeah.
Because we all dress like the people in the original.
They couldn't think about
what they
could have done with the
so
outfits.
Crazy.
They didn't go in on the outfits. Think about what they could have done. Like, even just for the queer characters, I was like, where is, like,
camp? Yeah, I think
Where's
that...
the fashion?
I think that they could have also been way more campy.
Yeah.
And way more... And I say this with love. Make it more gay. Honestly,
yes.
Gayer. Make it gay.
Every
make it
gay
more,
part was great.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And like
Damien, the character that played Damien.
Jaquel Spivey.
Jaquel Spivey.
He is incredible.
Fantastic.
Most talented singer out there.
He was great.
So do you know he is the star of A Strange Loop?
Yeah.
Which was on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have thoughts about that, but let's keep talking here.
I felt like his line read of she doesn't even go here.
She didn't go here.
That was very funny.
Upgraded. Like, every line
made
he
me,
gave.
That made
upgraded
me like,
the original.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, to take goat
right
lines.
To take
go
goat lines.
With Damien, that's
yeah,
tough.
That was.
I saw
tough.
A tweet that said at the premiere of Mean Girls, the original Damien, like the original cast was there, and one of like the ticketers asked Damien for a ticket. Was like, "Where's your ticket?" And he was
that's
just like,
"Rude as hell."
And everyone was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like everyone around him was like, "Absolutely the fuck not."
That's so funny.
Do you know who this man is?
So I have Jaquel Spivey, who was the star of A Strange Loop, won the Tony for Best Original Musical or Best Musical. I don't know how the Tonys work. It's a great show. It is about a it is a story of a black gay man trying to make a musical about being a black gay man. He is an usher who works at the Lion King. It was funny. It was weird. It had great music. It won the Tony, and it went out of business in 1 year.
Why?
Because Broadway is fucking hard. And honestly, the fact that now he is starring as a supporting member in Mean Girls the Musical,
the iconic,
tells me, I think it's just so indicative of what is broken about Broadway right now.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame that you have original musicals with great music that can't survive. And the only things that can survive are these big IP-driven shows I'm going to say it, okay music. I said
Let's talk about it because I am Regina. I couldn't really name any other song. Maybe Apex Predator.
It's not a great musical.
I don't have many other.
They're great singers.
I say fuck you both. I like the songs. I like the songs. I didn't like the transition songs. I didn't like the songs where I was just like, I'm singing my feelings. But I did really enjoy the songs that were like a full-on set piece.
Halloween number is a blast.
Number.
Especially in the live show on Broadway, that number crushes.
The one with Gretchen?
It's Karen's number.
Karen's number. And, yeah. Karen's
Tika
number was
is her
great.
Name, I think?
Karen's number is great. The flirt song is great.
The lyrics
the opening song is great. The FU song is great. The where she's like, put your right finger up.
I'd rather be with no one.
Yeah,
with
that song is great. The last song is great.
Derek loves musicals.
I want to see this musical.
I do too.
I want to see this musical.
I'll
real
go
bad.
See it with you off Broadway.
Can I make a small complaint?
Go on. We'll
Garrick,
allow it.
Garrick texted us. He says, bring back adults playing teenagers.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And the woman who played Karen, I looked it up. She was 17 when they filmed this movie.
Wow.
And there was too much cleavage.
This is what I was also like pretty not upset about, but like I feel like the perfect version of this is using the Mean Girls original and then like somehow transitioning those scenes into song and then going back to the movie, the original movie. Does that make sense? Because like there are points in the original movie like Kevin G sliding in from off screen every time that are so corny. Yeah. And everything is on a wide angle lens so that the comedy plays. Whereas here it's just like, oh, I'm getting as fucking close as possible, and I'm gonna make this as dramatic because we're talking about fucking hormones, and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, cool, but like we, I don't know, man. We kind of just want to see the theatrics on this one. We want to be as entertained and as like humored as possible. This you can also just kind of be dark. With the subject matter, but like if you're trying to play it for jokes, it's okay to fucking put on a sitcom, a fucking multi-cam performance, and then have music in it.
Yeah, a lot of these actors too, you could tell came from the stage.
Oh yeah,
because their performances were big, their reactions were big,
which is great.
I think Renee did a good job.
Can we talk more about Renee?
Yeah, we gotta talk about Renee.
She did a good job of like toning it down, but someone I'm thinking of was Karen. Gretchen. Uh-huh. Who I think her name is Bibi. Is her name the actress? She was doing a copy paste of Gretchen that I actually really fucked with.
Bibi Wood, what a name.
Bibi Wood.
She was great. Everybody was great. Everybody was so good. Everybody was so everybody's so fucking talented.
The only one who wasn't playing a copy paste was Renee. Everyone else felt like they were just taking sort. And Damien added his new stuff, but still was giving.
Yeah,
and Renee had my best laugh of the movie.
Which
where towards the there were two actually there are three big laughs I had. But Renee really played up being on painkillers after Regina gets hit by the bus.
Yeah.
And they're in the bathroom and they're doing this bit where. They start. This was one of the pieces of new writing in the movie that was really funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, give me more new jokes,
more
right?
Stuff. No
but they're
stuff.
About to go into like a really trite, like if I were a man, like in a man's world, it would be easier. And so the Katie character sets up something along the lines of, you know, if you were a man, and the beginning of that, the end of that sentence should be, people would call me a pimp or empowered or whatever.
I'm strong.
And she goes, I would have been called Reginald. And she, and she's like, what? It's like, the my parents said that if I was a boy, they would have named me Reginald.
Yeah. And I prefer just, bitch. So if I'm going to be Reginald or a bitch, I'd rather be a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it, the setup is, was. Like, if they call you a bitch, but if you were a man,
you'd be strong.
I would be called Reginald. And that she's was, in a neck brace and high as fuck. And it's such good.
If they could have just given us new scenes and they were playing copy-paste Mean Girls, I would have fucking loved it.
And this is my question for people who have seen the musical, Zach. So Zach, you are included
here,
in that.
In our presence.
Like, what was the new, like...
It's a totally mediocre musical with that totally relies on you going, ooh, line I remember.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
It's not, it's not great IP.
Okay, well, so here, like...
It's cute, it's fun, it's exciting, but it is... The classic, like, hey, we're going to use big IP to get to sell tickets, and we're going to give you that burst of serotonin in your brain every time you recognize a line. Yeah.
But it's like, it's super cool. Like, that one scene, I feel like, could have been extrapolated and turned into an entire different thing. Because I feel I think I've brought this up a couple times, but American Vandal at the end of it, at the end of the first season.
Incredible show.
And so such a good show. Done. Everybody should watch that show. It is like still like holds up. It is fantastic. But at the end of it, the person that they thought did it started to act, but who didn't do it started to act bad. And he was just like, well, if everybody, I just went through this whole thing and everybody expects me to be this person, so I might as well be this person. And there was a moment of that in that scene where it's just like, I mean, if I could be called Reginald or a bitch, I'd rather be a bitch, right? So it's just like there was I guess a situation, or I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I know what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to get there, but
the journey is part of the mission.
Yeah.
No?
But, like, that small little scene and seeing more of that and seeing more of the cracks in Regina George's character, seeing more of, like, the I got hoisted up to the Queen Bee thing.
I want to see an origin story of
Regina. Of her. Like, where it's just, like, not – I don't even need
expand
to see an origin story.
Themes. Expand there on the juice themes. There as opposed to just having to play these beats that we know.
Right, because she would have been
– With that, my other – okay, so another – of my biggest laughs of the movie came from Miss Tina Fey herself. They do the iconic, you know, the school's gone crazy. They go to the auditorium. Tina's going to get everyone. This is after the burn book has been revealed. And Tina steps up and she goes, and she starts to starts to sing, realizes she's a terrible singer, goes into a dialogue scene.
Yeah.
Really funny scene. There's a little bit of like the relief from the audience. Oh, we don't need another musical number. Oh, it's meta because she can't sing. It made me remember and realize how fucking funny and talented Tina Fey is as a writer, as a performer. And it made me bummed that she's been so successful.
Oh, really?
Because she hasn't had to do anything
for
10 years.
Yeah.
She, as here, Mean Girls is such a behemoth that she has been able to just remix it and make it again.
Take that back,
and she she's in this movie. She's rewriting the same movie. She's in the same role again.
She says the same lines.
It's good. On the one hand, I'm like, way to fucking go. You did it. You deserve to ride off into the sunset with your bags of money. You did it. But it also made me wonder, what great art could we have gotten from Tina Fey if she still had that hunger?
But she made fucking 30 Rock. She made
30 Rock.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
You
like,
mean
so
it's
she
just
doesn't.
She's not performing as much as we'd like to see her anymore.
I want more from Tina.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking about recurring characters, we have to talk about the biggest.
Oh, God.
Absolute biggest pleasure this entire fucking
movie.
That
was probably the best cameo I've ever seen in my life.
With a gasp, I gamed.
Yeah.
So you are lulled into this movie, and by, you know what, the opening
of the third act. That was
Like, okay, well, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
We're not going back.
Yeah.
And then
we get to the mathlete competition, and who the fuck is the mathlete judge? Lindsay motherfucking Lohan.
Yeah, so that was so sick. We just say huge spoiler warning. I feel like you should also, everybody should, everybody deserves to see that moment in yeah. utter shock and disbelief.
It was just long enough into the movie that I had forgotten because I was like, oh, well,
they're
of course they got to get her
back.
In here.
Yeah. And they wouldn't, like, here's the thing, though. That was my biggest pleasure. Here's my two biggest guilts about that moment. One, they made her the mathlete judge.
Great.
They couldn't give her a better fucking cameo.
No.
Number two, her first line, welcome to the mathlete competition presented by SeatGeek.
Yo, what the fuck was that?
That was funny.
The fucking product placement in this movie was out of control.
I thought that was funny.
They had Elf makeup cosmetics. They even say like a cosmetic product's name in it. They have SeatGeek sponsors the mathlete competition. What else? There were so many product placements. The Motorola Razr.
Stay on Lilo.
No, that's what I'm saying. That was my negative of that moment. Is you have Lindsay Lohan, the queen, the OG, her fucking self, has agreed to come back on and do a cameo, and you give her the mathlete.
A
you
verbal give her, call out.
Yes. Yeah. No.
And you
that
don't
is
even,
correct.
And you don't even let Lindsay sing.
Bitch,
Lindsay can sing.
She can sing.
She can sing.
She gave us so many bangers.
So I am a big fan of the actress Andre Rice, and I don't know how to say her name, and I hope I got it right. I think she was great in The Nice Guys. She's a cool actress.
Yeah.
All I was thinking though is how funny would this have been if they just recast Lindsay Lohan and didn't acknowledge that she's way too old.
Honestly, the biggest difference between the original Lindsay, who is iconic in that role, is you watched her become a plastic and yes. you fucking yeah. believed it.
Yeah.
You were like, look at this mean hottie
yeah.
who is fucking spicy and she became the girl. This new Lilo just didn't have it for me.
This new
Lilo?
She didn't give it. She didn't serve.
Well, and it's because the movie is just having to move us along mm-hmm. and yeah. push us from set piece to
but
set
I
piece.
Kind of wanted Lindsay to like, fucking yank off her mathlete sweatshirt and like be in a hot skirt and her titties out and be like,
no, she
back
ends,
in the movie.
But she ends the movie as a mathlete. So you have to bring her back as a mathlete. I feel like yeah. the entire arc of that character ends with so, her.
Is there a conspiracy
that.
Theory that that's her?
It so listen be. To this. They do something that I honestly hate when movies do this wink, wink, yeah. nudge, yeah, yeah, nudge. Yeah. But they in go the, like, we have a tie. This has only happened once before. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They do that again with Fetch when they're like, it's a slang from an old movie.
Yeah, yeah. right. And so, like, are you suggesting that this
universe.
Lindsay Lohan is the same Katie Heron that we know from our movie? In which case, wouldn't she be there and be like, wait, bitch, your name is my name too? Yeah. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah, yes, yeah. but they want to touch the, they just want to.
You just gotta.
They just want to give a little winkle.
They
don't want you to
it.
Think that hard.
A little.
They just want a little
winkle.
You see what I did?
A little.
I'm actually. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm back on this. I'm more upset that they didn't develop Regina and Katie's like a whole backstory way more.
I wanted them to be lovers.
Yeah, because even that would have been cool.
Not enough
even,
Renee.
Yeah, yeah, not enough Renee. And then even when you see Katie and her mom, played by Jenna Fisher,
such a good casting.
And such
choice.
A good casting because they look just like. Also, Busy Phillips looks just like Renee Rapp.
That was trippy.
Uncanny. It's like that is maybe the most accurate
mother-daughter
casting times
yeah.
two
yeah.
that I've ever
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Truly, but like as soon as you see her back at home and you're like, oh fuck, I forgot that half of this movie was about watching a mom watch her daughter change and then change with something that she wasn't like used to because she was homeschooling her and she is like having this whole culture
mom.
Change.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a single mom and she's like, oh, we were out in the safari for a while. We were out in South Africa?
Kenya.
They're out in Kenya for a while. And she's like watching America steal her daughter yeah. from her. And like, I was like, oh yeah, this could have also been a huge chunk of the movie. But
I'd watch her origin story.
Yeah. I still don't think it's origin story. I think it's just like seeing more of the home situation.
Yeah.
And the same situation with Regina, where it's just like, oh, are you mean because your mom is weird and your dad isn't there a lot? Like, why are you mean?
And we got that in the original, is we got why she's so calculating
yeah.
and like why everyone's afraid of her.
Yeah.
This one, they were just like, everyone's afraid of her and you guys will accept it. And
because
we're like, okay.
We know it from the original movie.
Yeah.
Best joke of the entire movie. I laughed so hard I missed the next two lines. You have Damien singing beautifully in French at the talent show.
Oh, yes.
And then they go, thank you. That was Damien with a cover, French cover of the iCarly theme song.
That killed me.
Peed my pants.
That killed me. That was so fucking funny.
Such an unnecessary, necessary 15 seconds of film.
Yeah, I guffawed. And nobody else is laughing with me. And then I could tell that there were children in the audience with me. And I was like, oh, nobody has seen iCarly. I feel old.
By the way, if you're watching along on YouTube, I've been wearing a Guy Fieri shirt this entire episode and they haven't asked about it.
No, we're not going to.
And they accepted this as my fashion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's pretty dope.
With a lime green shirt
underneath. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you gave him the shirt.
Oh, I'm green. Up
just green
double
day.
Die.
Up. Y'all ready for some fun facts?
Let's do it.
Fun facts with Zach's back. I'm singing cuz it's Renee rap.
Tina Fey always wanted Renee for Regina. After seeing her perform in the Broadway musical, Tina was like, that's the girl. She's the only girl. But Tina was nervous that the execs at Paramount would want her to cast someone trendier. But lucky for her, Paramount was like, yeah, go get your girl.
Ooh, nice.
There was
nice.
Only ever one.
Nice. Very cool.
I thought she was a bisexual queen. She came out as a lesbian this year.
But she did.
We lost one.
I thought she was bisexual. Yeah, I thought she was bisexual.
I thought she was like doing press tour as a bisexual.
Yeah. I want to be homies with her.
Yeah,
you could be. I think, no, actually, I don't think that she needs me as a friend. She's fine.
She doesn't need either of us as a friend, but I think that I could add a lot to her life.
I think you guys would be friends.
Yeah, you guys would absolutely be friends.
I think we'd be cool.
So specifically, Garrick.
Interesting.
I said this before. I don't know. So Rachel McAdams, who's kind of been like mum's the word on Mean Girls forever, she came out and introduced Renee at SNL for the second song.
Yeah.
There was an adorable picture of them hugging. And what I love too is that Rachel McAdams totally disappeared for all Oscar campaigning. She did not campaign at all for Are You There, God's Me, Margaret. And then 2 days after Oscar voting closed, she then came back out on SNL and is like, I'm here. I'll support you.
What's up?
I won't promote my own career, but...
I'm pulling a Giamatti and I'm being cool. What's up? How's it going? I'm a normal person that just wants to act.
Tina Fey considered directing the movie, but she didn't.
Cool.
Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco. Everyone's favorite unseen character. They considered a cameo.
By?
Harry Styles.
Stop.
They scrapped the idea, which I thought that would have killed. Are you kidding me?
I've always thought that Glenn Coco was a woman.
Glenn Coco?
I know. I have an aunt named Glenda.
Oh.
So they play with aspect ratio in the movie, and I did notice this, but not consciously. So whenever Renee Rapp is singing as Regina, they go from flat square to a more rectangular to do a music video vibe.
Yeah.
They also played with, obviously...
Yep.
TikToks, framing, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's not
felt
really good
it. You
one.
Felt it. It definitely seemed like every time she was on camera, she was the main character of a music video.
Well, look at this. This was originally slated to be a Paramount Plus streaming exclusive, and they changed it to theatrical as late as September 2023.
Whoa!
So really, up until recently, this was
I think they've realized that people are, they're like, oh, the theaters are dead, blah, blah, blah. Let's slate it for just streaming stuff. And then they've realized that it's...
that's stupid.
That's silly. The theaters aren't dead. People still want to go to movies. And every time you put something straight to streaming, people are going to question the quality rather than your investment strategy.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and something I'll say too is that the movie is making a good amount of money right now and is another in a long line of movies that is... let me say it like this. The box office right now is being controlled by women for the first time.
Amen.
Ever.
Yeah.
So you hear that, ladies? Keep going to the movies.
That's
they're going to.
That too.
Start making movies and keep going to the movies. But yeah, no, box office is being controlled by women this year. And it is kind of a little seismic shift
Look
in the
Stanley
movie industry.
Cups, you know what I'm saying? We control everything if they just listen to us. Right.
Did you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is a fun fact. So in this movie, Tina Fey and Tim Meadows are playing roles also played by Tina Fey and Tim Meadows in the original Mean Girls.
Wow. That's fucking crazy.
No, they're not.
Nuts.
Oh,
right?
You know another one? The woman who plays the French teacher was Gretchen in the Broadway.
Oh. Ah.
And meanwhile, she's like, the fuck, guys? Renee got a starring role. Yeah. Why not me?
Yeah. Cool. Okay. I can't think of any more.
Well, gang, now we have to decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty?
Oh, fuck, I've never felt so torn on something. Because I still don't know. Because let me tell you what, I wanted to watch the whole thing because I love Mean Girls.
Yeah.
So you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to give this a pleasure. I'm going to say go see it. Because anything that is Mean Girls, even if it's the same thing played by different people with singing, I want it. So yes, it's a pleasure. Go on. Go on.
I don't know. I think that I just want to see the movie. I don't want to give it a thing because I think that everybody is so talented in the movie.
There you go. That's worth giving it a P.
I can't give it a full P. But
you're giving it a lowercase P?
Give it a fucking guilty pleasure. Because mainly because it is fully doing the thing that we all got annoyed with Marvel movies, where they're just like, okay, stop doing fucking fan service. Can you for the love of God stop doing fan service? And then also on top of that, there is what I was saying before, where a lot of the things are earned in the previous movie and with your knowledge of the previous movie so that this one can keep moving. But if you watch it as a singular piece of art, it is lacking on those story beats, you know, like there are certain turns that aren't earned and you're like, all right, well, they were earned only to me because I know the fucking first movie like the back of my hand. But if I were to just go in blind, I'd be like, not confused, but like upset a little bit.
Zach.
There is so much talent in this movie, top to bottom. The choreography by Kyle Hanagami, the vocal performance of Renee Rapp.
Yeah.
There is too much talent in this movie to call it anything other than a guilty pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. Zach just froze.
Yeah, it's
whole
hard.
Body just paused.
It's fucking hard. It's like you're looking at such talent on camera, and
we've
then you're
never
like,
struggled this hard before,
huh?
As a team, do you think people should go see it?
I think people should go see it.
I think people should go see it.
Wow, I think people should go see it. I think people
even on streaming at home.
Let me just
got it.
Go into my...
Hey, by the way, you guys should come to my live show. I'm going to be in Philly in New York City, February 6th and 7th. You can go to confidentlyinsecure.com to get your tickets. We're doing meet and greets. We're doing giveaways. We're doing fun times. There's going to be a male sacrifice. Go come to my live show. We need to sell out Philly desperately.
Yeah, and that would be, I think, where I land on this. Don't see Mean Girls. Go see Kelsey. And you know what? I want to call this movie a guilt for so many reasons, but the reason that stands out most in my mind is because it is an indictment on this industry I love so much. Really, two industries, Hollywood and Broadway. Broadway. That the only things that can get made right now are these huge IP-driven remakes and rehashes. And then you do it and you're too reverent or too afraid to even change and engage with the art to begin with. I would be okay if we remade Mean Girls and we played with it and we said, what is
give
a Mean Girls
in
2024? What does it mean to be Mean Girls in this day and age?
Yeah.
And it's a musical now and we're going to play with it. But instead we go, we are afraid to break this thing, but we're going to add a little bit more because we like money. And that makes me feel sad. And it makes me feel like all of the great in this movie is wasted on something that is just an industry-wide problem. So that's something that I'll be thinking about. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you for listening to our comedy podcast.
Wow. What a downer. I'm calling my therapist after
damn,
this.
Love it.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, look, if there's one thing we can all agree on, it's that my name is Richard. Also, and then she says, and I am a big
massive
D. But she says, and I am a massive D. And I always hear D, and I'm like, is it diva? Is it like dick? Like you have a big dick, like big dick energy? Or you're like a big, you're like, but it's deal.
Yeah.
Deal.
In case anyone was wondering.
Yeah.
I'm at Corn Day and all the things.
I'm at go to confidentiallyinsecure.com and buy tickets to the live show.
I'm at Gary Bernard and all the things.
And until next time.